Epcot, because it's so close to us. And we watch people litter there the same as they litter everywhere else, but Disney arranges it so that their employees appear from behind the shrubbery to pick up the litter, or they drop from a cloud to pick up the litter. The restrooms are cleaned in Disneyland twice every 30 minutes. Who does that?
What?
Only people who understand the importance of neatness. How much does that cost? You know that doesn't cost any money. Time, energy, imagination, and information, plus having the right attitude. Another thing that's really important, most people don't have a clue about this, is a guarantee. People say, no, everybody knows about guarantees. No, I'm talking about a guarantee that's not for a month, because if you do that, it'll attract a few people, but most people will spend their time thinking, boy, I've only got a month before I return this. And not a year and not 10 years, but a lifetime guarantee. A lifetime guarantee attracts the most people. Hardly anybody ever returns merchandise. L.L. Bean, one of the most successful retailers in America, has had a lifetime guarantee. They say, you know, it attracts everybody because it's a lifetime guarantee, but no one returns things because they know there's no pressure on them to return it. They've got a lifetime. It doesn't matter if they've got to do it within a year or 6 months. So just mentioning your guarantee and letting them know it's a lifetime guarantee is not going to cost you much money unless you've got a shoddy product, but it's sure going to attract a lot of people. Realizing that one of the most important weapons is location. These days, location does not mean that hype mall or that high-priced spot downtown. It means the Internet. The world is learning to buy things in a new way. They're learning to get information in a new way. Why do people go online? They go online to accomplish something. Mainly what they want to accomplish is getting information. And the location you need is on the Internet. It's not a matter of people being technophobic and they're afraid of it. They're not afraid of it anymore. Almost everybody is learning about the Internet. 1 billion people use email on a regular basis. Here's another free marketing weapon that most people overlook. Upgrade the size of the transaction. Once a person has decided to buy from you, tell them, hey, we have a deluxe version of this, and it only costs $60 more. Or if you buy this, we'll give you 2 more of these, and there are companion products to the first one. So that's not going to cost you anything. People appreciate being upsold. They appreciate being told that other things are available, and maybe there's a price break with those things. But the point is, it costs you nothing. The way to market in a tough economy is enlarge the size of each transaction. That's free. Have more transactions per year with each of your customers. Costs next to nothing to get in touch with a person whose email you already know. And realize that every customer you have is the center of a network, and they've got a load of referral power, so all you've got to do is ask, and they'll say yes to you. Still, another place I hope people open their mind in the realm of guerrilla marketing is television commercials. To be the TV was very expensive, but now in major markets in the United States, you can get on for $12 for 30 seconds in prime time. In any city, you don't have to pay more than $20 if you don't want. Television has changed like crazy because of cable and satellite TV. It's changed to the point that anybody can afford it. And if you go on television, realize it's a visual medium. People are going to mute your commercial, so you've got to tell your story visually or you're not telling your story. Still, I've never seen an industry where television did not work and where it used to cost literally $197,000 to produce a 30-second TV commercial. Now you can do it for $500. You can make a really nice-looking, visually-oriented television commercial. It doesn't have to cost but a leg, and you'll find out why TV is the undisputed heavyweight champion of marketing, although marketing is giving it a run for its money right now.
Jay, just to stop you there for a second, do you have contacts? Now, I've never heard of producing a TV commercial for $500 and being able to book it for $12. Where do we find that information?
Call any local television station.
Uh-huh.
I don't an affiliate of NBC or CBS or ABC. I mean a cable station, and ask them, the cable station, their rates, and you want to be on during prime time. That's you're going to get the cost of the time itself. And then you say to them, because now they realize more and more small businesses are advertising on television, say, hey, can you give me a hand in producing this commercial? I'm told by Jay Levinson, who wrote a lot of books on this topic, that you'll be able to produce a really good-looking one for $500. And that's the truth. We just produced a series of really nice commercials for Mercedes-Benz, a local dealer, for $300 each. All it's really all about is knowing how to write a TV commercial, which is to write a script. The left half of the script has the copy. You shouldn't have more than really 65 words. The right side has a copy. The left side has the visuals, what the people will see. And you can't have too much. After all, it's only 30 seconds. But that's how you write a television commercial. And once you know how to write one, and if you record it before you shoot it, just go to a sound studio and record the commercial. Don't do these things yourself. It's way too important to be a do-it-yourself project. It's not. But go to a radio studio or just a regular studio and record a 30-second soundtrack. That means when you're shooting the commercial, you can shoot directly to that soundtrack. There's not going to be any mistakes, any questions. Everything's going to be exactly to the right time. It's amazing, Terry, how people still think the old rules are applicable in television. They still think it's only for the rich guys, and it's not. And cable stations, you know them, Arts and Entertainment, MTV, CNN, the Discovery Channel, there are so many cable stations. The prices are lower than I've even let you know. Those stations are really hungry to build an audience, and if you just call them, not only will they very low rates, but they'll help you produce the commercial.
So are you going to be the one doing the writing? Now, you said don't produce it yourself, which I think is very key, but are you the one that's going to put together the push or the benefits and whatnot, or are you going to have somebody else write that for you?
If you can write the King's English, the Queen's English, you should do it yourself. If you can't, you've got to get another person to do it. It has nothing to do with writing ability. It has to do with writing words that motivate people to change their minds, which is what advertising and marketing are all about. And although you can write a 65-word television commercial yourself, there is an art to doing that. And if you can get a professional or freelancer to do it for you, it will probably be that much better. And when you're there for the production, watch what's done, and then you'll realize, hey, I can do this too. So, yes, you can write these yourself. The cable stations will also help you do it. Have to sound like everybody else and don't exaggerate. And listen to the commercials that are on TV now. Most of them are terrible. So if you try your own hand, you're almost automatically going to do better than them.
Now, what's the point of the actual TV ad? Is it work the same within the whole guerrilla marketing kind of realm where you're pushing your prospects to go to an opt-in list? You're not, like you said, you're not trying to sell the people with your marketing. You're trying to get them to opt into something. Does that work? Is that the TV pushing people to opt into something as well?
That's exactly right. You're getting people to visit your website. Advertising is much easier now than it used to be. You had to sell a product before. Now all you've got to do is get people to click to your website. Because you're probably not going to be able in 30 seconds to sell your product, but you will be able to get them to click to your website. So use that opportunity, 30 seconds you're on, to make your website sound fascinating, and then they're going to go to the website, and then they're going to learn more. It's the same with this consent marketing. The TV commercial will enable them to give their consent, and then you'll be able to be in touch with them because they'll email you. I've got just a few more major weapons, as long as we're here, that I should tell.
Oh, yeah, please.
One is, there's a story of a woman who was wandering outside a village. Her name was Truth. And when she went into the village and knocked on the door of a villager, the door, they take one look at her and slam the door in her face. So she'd go to house after house, and each time, they'd take one look at her and slam the door in her face. So Truth went to the House of Fable. She said, why is it I get such a cold reception wherever I go? And the woman who lives in the House of Fable, she said, well, the truth is, people have a lot of trouble handling your nakedness. When it comes to nakedness of truth, people have problems with that. Why don't you cloak yourself in story? So then truth went out into the village, and instead of telling facts, she told stories. And when they knew she was going to tell stories, they would invite her in the house and invite her for dinner. One of the things that the Americans have been bamboozled with is the phrase attention span. They teach you kids have short attention spans. That is absolutely hooey. Children have very long attention spans if you put it in the context of a story. Try to tell them facts, they're going to go to sleep or pay no attention. But if you tell them stories, as soon as you get through with your story, what's the first thing they're going to want? Tell it again. Kids like stories, and grown-ups like stories, too. So anything you're going to say in the context of a cold, naked fact, forget that. Instead, tell a story about it, and that's going to make your marketing come alive. Another crucial thing that you should do your own marketing research, which means prepare a questionnaire that you send to your customers or in the neighborhood. Ask people questions like, what TV shows do you watch? What radio stations do you listen to? What trade shows do you go to? Spouse do for a living? What's your hobbies? What are your kids' hobbies? And learn about the family so that when you can send them a mailing later in the year, instead of doing a silly thing like sending a Christmas card and saying season's greetings, instead you send a Thanksgiving Day card. And you say, Happy Thanksgiving and congratulations on your daughter being named to the cheerleading squad. You can only do that if you've been doing these research studies or you prepare the questions yourself. Still another weapon requires that people stop believing a lie that they've been believing all their lives. And I tell you this, Jerry, because it's a damaging lie. It's hurtful to a business. It's hurtful to a family. It's hurtful to an individual. And most people have bought into it all their lives. Unthinkingly, they've just bought into it. Here's the lie. Time is money. That's not the truth. The Roper poll, the Harris poll, the Gallup poll, the universities of Pennsylvania and Maryland conduct studies each year on what Americans cherish the most. In 1988, time went to number one on the list. It was number one on the list in 89, 90, and ever since, and it will be number one on the list for the rest of our lives. People know that time is life. Time isn't money. That's why the marketing weapon I'm emphasizing is speed. Whatever you do, don't make your customers or prospects wait. They know that time is not money, and they don't want to deal with anybody who wastes their time. A final weapon I'll mention to you is called spying. And here I'm not talking about the kind of spying that I did when I was in the counterintelligence department.
Yeah.
Spying on your own business. Spying on competitors' business. Calling your business and request information. See how your information request is treated. See how you're treated on the phone. See if there's any follow-up. Then do the same with your competitor. Make the same information request. See how that information request is processed. See how that person is treated on the phone. See if there's any follow-up. There's a story of a kid who went into a pharmacy. And he said to the pharmacist, he said, Mister, may I use your telephone? And the pharmacist said, sure. This kid was only about 10 years old. He said, sure you can, young man. Handed him the phone, and the kid punched in a number. And then the pharmacist was listening. It's the kid said to the people who answer the phone, he said, hello, he says, I'm calling because I want you to be proud of your yard. And the people on the other end said, well, we're proud of our yard, young man. He says, what I'm really calling for is to make sure that your heart's filled with joy and rapture and beauty whenever you see your garden and whenever you see your yard. And they said, well, young man, our heart's filled with heart and joy when we see our yard and our garden. He says, main reason I'm calling is to make sure you have the services of the best yard boy in town. And they said, well, young man, to tell you the truth, we do have the services of the best yard boy in town, but thank you for calling. He says, well, I'm very happy for you, and he hung up. Well, the pharmacist had been listening to this with his mouth hung open because he's never heard an attitude like this. And he said to the young man, he says, young man, you're going to have no trouble succeeding in business. You've got such a wonderful attitude. You've got so much energy. He said, and you'll have no trouble getting a job as a yard boy. And the kid said, oh, I've already got a job as a yard boy. I'm a yard boy for the people I just called. I was just checking up on myself. And
wow.
That's what spying is all about. It takes time, energy, imagination, and information. Because you can be sure that all of your competitors are trying to get better than you. And what they're trying to do, because this is the hot new word of marketing, although it's not really a new word, but people are just beginning to realize the importance of branding, and that one of their most important long-term goals is brand name awareness, because that's what people trust, brand names. There, now, I've given you, I don't know how many, but probably more than 10 really good marketing weapons, and there are 200 to go with. So somebody will have to wait a couple of years to buy my book, or they gmarketing.com and get the list there, or they should go to guerrillamarketingassociation.com, which is a way for people to be on the phone with me on a regular basis to ask questions on our forum board and get answers from at least one of 20 trained coaches. And when you're a member of the Guerrilla Marketing Association, you've got, it's like having a $1,000 an hour consultant in your computer, and you've got free courses in the association. That's a new way that authors are communicating with readers, is by forming an association where there's a give and a take, where the readers and the listeners can communicate with the authors. And I used to feel frustrated because I never could talk to a reader. But in the Guerrilla Marketing Association, I get to talk to them on a regular basis. And I always felt guilty that they were a little bit behind the times, because it takes a year from the time it leaves my word processor till the time it gets on the bookshelves at Barnes & Noble or available online from Amazon. So now that we have the association, we write a video and written newsletter called the Guerrilla Marketing Insider, and it's always up to the moment. Nothing there is outdated, and all the things they put in it are things that people can do immediately. As Terry, as you mentioned earlier, this is not about theory. This is about reality. People can do the things we say in the newsletter tomorrow, and for the most part, it doesn't cost them any money. So this is the way I think that marketing has evolved, and I'm trying to lead that evolution because I want so much to be of service to my readers.
I definitely think you're definitely leading in this, Jay. This is absolutely critical information, I think, for anybody that's operating. I would say small to medium size business, more so than your like Coke and McDonald's. Is that right?
Yes.
I think it's now. What you mentioned branding. How important is it for, let's say, a one man show sitting in his office? He's online. He's kind of like a typical entrepreneur of the day. How important is branding? How is he going to be able to brand himself?
By practicing the art of repetition, by repeating what he says in his marketing until his name becomes a brand name, by staying with a theme line and never abandoning it, by creating a meme. A meme is a visual representation of the idea that you represent. Like, a hitchhiker standing out there with his thumb out, that's a meme, because people don't need any instructions on how to do that and what that person wants. And the most common memes in the world are international traffic symbols, because instantly they communicate a whole idea. And enlightened companies are getting away from logos, because logos only communicate the name of your company. Memes communicate an idea about your company. Memes lead to branding. Branding, repetition leads to branding. Branding leads to confidence. And the main reason people patronize the businesses that they do is confidence in the retailer. And so your job is to write a marketing plan, like the seven-sentence marketing plan we talked about, mm-hmm. and to come up with a theme line, to come up with a meme, a visual representation of an idea that they represent, and then realize that with time, they're going to become a brand name. And when new businesses come down the pike, they're not going to be able to compete because they don't have a brand name yet. Or many of the people who run businesses now who think they're supposed to change their marketing message and their slogan and their media around, that's just the opposite of the truth. The truth is they should repeat as much as they can, because brand name awareness is going to be the name of the successful companies in the 21st century.
So is this to be able to brand appropriate or properly, it doesn't matter what media you're using, but you keep repeating, it's a continuity that you keep repeating the same thing. So with the J. Conrad Levinson name, that's going to be on your TV commercials, and it's going to appear exactly the same on your email marketing. It's going to be on your websites. It's going to be on everything you do. Is that what the continuity of branding is?
Go to a bookstore, and you'll see all the guerrilla marketing books have a camouflage motif.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of what language they're in, the family resemblance, that means the guerrilla marketing brand is a brand. Right now, it's the best marketed brand in history, because the best marketed branding brand, because it's a huge marketing brand. But McDonald's has a stronger brand with their arches, because bigger now than Disney, because Ronald McDonald is better known around the world than Mickey Mouse. Didn't used to be like that. But McDonald's really gets it when it comes to marketing, when I talk about their reference speed and cleanliness. They really understand, and they surely understand branding.
That's super. Now, what about, do you have any examples of, I mean, I'm sure you've had tons and tons of students have come back to you and say, look, Jay, I put your seven steps into action. I've put some of the weapons into action, and here's what happened to me. Can you share some of those examples of what your students have come back to you and said, here's what's happened for them?
Well, what happens with them is I let them know that what guerrilla marketing is all about is profits. Anybody can build sales, but what's really important is profits. That's hard to do. And I get my jollies, other than from skiing and riding, not from people coming up to me and saying, gosh, you're a good speaker, you had all my attention at that last function, or not saying you're a good writer, saying, I've read 80 of your books and they're so easy to read and they make everything so simple. What I like best is when they say, when I read your book, I didn't know anything about marketing, and last year we did $7 million in sales, and I've never taken a marketing course. He says, it was just a matter of the simple things you told us to do, and I took it to your word. I did write a seven-sentence marketing plan. I did pick a handful of weapons, and you warned me that all those weapons aren't going to hit the bullseye. Some are going to miss the target, so that my job is to pay careful attention so I know which ones to get rid of. And now my marketing arsenal is only 8 weapons, and I know that there's 200. Well, these are the 8 that have proven themselves in action for me. So I hear stories like that a lot, all the time, and around the world. Because, as you said when we first started the session, was that it works. That's the reason guerrilla marketing is successful, because it works. And when people hear me speak or read my books, they know that I don't make any promises about guerrilla marketing that aren't true. I don't say it works fast, because it doesn't. And I don't say everything you do and it works every time, because I just got through saying half the things you're going to do aren't going to work. Only half, the other half are going to work. So you've got to pay attention and just stick with those things that do work. And I hear people telling me those stories all the time, and most of them report incomes way bigger than mine, because they've really taken it to the limit and they've really built up giant companies. And I warn them. I said, if you're not working at a time that gives you a lot of at a pace that's giving you a lot of free time with your family, your friends, and the chances to do the things you know in life, maybe you're doing it wrong. Maybe you should be saying, instead of that, my company is now a $12 million company, but I'm working 7 days a week, why don't you tell me that your company is a $2 million company, but you work 2 days a week?
Exactly.
That's what guerrilla marketing is all about. It's about profits and about balance. And of the people whose stories I like to repeat, stories that I like to write about, are the people who have added the balance. It's easy to build a business and make money. It's hard to build a business, make money, and to maintain the balance in your life, to watch your kids grow up, to improve your golf score so that you're beginning to break 80, to find out that you're skiing better now than you were when you were in college.
Right, if anybody isn't so familiar with you, they haven't seen you, just to put that into perspective about the skiing, the lifestyle, everything that you're living now, how old are you, Jay?
74.
I think that is so amazing. And how long have you, I mean, I can't really say you're retired. I mean, I can't.
No, I still work a three-day week from my home, and I think retirement is fatal. I think that retirement is one of the leading causes of death. I think that unless a person remains active with their minds, the word for them is D-O-O-M. You don't have to work all the time, but you should work some of the time. In nature, nothing retires. And I'm saying cut back, but don't retire. I just feel so sorry when I meet people who are retired, because that means too much free time, and they don't know what they're going to do with it, and not enough money, because retirement doesn't really pay, in most cases, enough money.
Right.
And I think that's just a shame. So, 74 years old, I mean, I do ski better than I did. I lettered in skiing at the University of Colorado, and I do ski better now, probably because I've been doing it so long, and maybe because the equipment's better, and maybe because they groom the slopes better. But the point is that I can do things now better than when I was a kid. And I remain true to this business of a three-day week, although my wife probably is smiling in the other room, because she knows sometimes that three-day week is a seven-day week.
Yeah.
You've got to be flexible, because inflexible things become brittle and break. And so I do work a three-day week, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, but sometimes, like next week, I've got a speaking invitation right near my house, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And it's a speaking invitation on a Thursday. So what am I going to do? Say, I'm sorry, I work a three-day week? No, instead, what I do is I work that Thursday.
Right.
Maybe I'll take off another day, but you've got to be flexible.
That's cool. Now, what, Jay, is your entire income now based on your books, or I guess your books and your speaking engagements?
Yes, my books and my speaking engagements.
And what kind of a level have you reached now? I mean, you've got, what did you say, 51 books?
57 books. And when people say, how much money do you make from a book? I say, I'll tell you the truth. I said, when my first book, Earning Money Without a Job, the publisher paid me $15,000 for it.